U.S. troops in combat in this new Middle East war?
I don't think that's necessary. Israel has one of the finest fighting forces in the country. I guarantee we're going to provide them everything they need.
So that was Joe Biden doing the 60 Minutes interview on Sunday with Scott Pelley and talking about the conflict in the Middle East, which now all of a sudden has changed dimensions since yesterday. President Biden was going to go and talk with Jordan. He was going to go and talk with the Palestinian Authority. If you don't know the geography, that's West Bank. That's, if your left hand holding up is Israel, it's not a good map. But, you know, I'm from Michigan and Florida, so every map in Illinois, every map is your hand held one way or the other. You know, in Michigan, it's upright. In Illinois, it's inverted. And in Florida, it's inverted and twisted if it's your left hand. But, you know, if you hold up a map like that, bottom left of your hand is the Gaza Strip, beyond which is Egypt. North is Lebanon. Northeast, like first finger, is Syria. And then your thumb is Jordan. Okay. And this is, you know, he was going to go to Jordan. And then the West Bank is like where your knuckle of your main index finger is in that vicinity. So he's going to go to meet with the Palestinian Authority in West Bank. He was going to go to meet with the Prime Minister of Jordan or the President of Jordan. And then you had this attack on, well, let's just say you had a horrible thing happen at a hospital in the Gaza Strip yesterday. A hospital was demolished and something on the order of 500 people are said to have been killed. And this changed everything. Because now the Palestinian Authority in West Bank and also the President of Jordan called off the meeting with Biden in protest against what the Gazans, the Hamas leaders, they say it was the Israelis. And they're not going to meet with Biden when Biden is defending Israel and Israel is now alleged to have bombed a hospital. In response, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, came out and said, we didn't bomb a hospital. We don't bomb hospitals. That was a rocket attack launched by mistake, we think, by Islamic Jihad. One of the sort of, you know, in Gaza, you don't just have Hamas. You have a whole bunch of terrorist actors, just like you have in many other failed states. But, you know, they're not the only game in town. Islamic Jihad is a more radical but less populated. So they're like the, you know, they're like a third or fourth volume size gang who engages in terrorism, but they do worse acts of terrorism than even Hamas does, which, you know, is hard to imagine, but there it is. So the Israeli Defense Forces say that this was a rocket attack launched from a cemetery by the by Islamic Jihad that misfired and hit a hospital. They say they're not to blame. They say somebody inside of Gaza did this and is blaming them even when they didn't do it. Now, they released footage earlier this morning of a drone overhead saying they claim that, look, there's no big crater. And if we had dropped a bomb on a hospital, not that we did, because we never would, but it would show a giant crater where there was a hospital and there's no such crater. The response, sort of the contrary analysis, is, yeah, but, you know, the kinds of rockets that people like Islamic Jihad have access to are the kinds of rockets that blow up a house, not a hospital. You know, it's kind of the argument that it isn't capable of doing the sort of damage that was done. So there's all kinds. And so, again, it's a horrible thing. 500 people killed, 500 non-combatants. All right. So what happened in this case? Well, we don't know. Okay. But here are some possibilities. Possibility number one is Israel targeted a hospital on purpose, period. No more details necessary. That seems completely impossible to me. Because Israel doesn't do that. We know, and Israel's not stupid. They would know in advance, oh, bombing a hospital. You know, that's a great way to ruin a lot of our PR. There's already a lot of PR against them, lies and fabrications against them. They don't need to add to it by actually giving them good arguments like, hey, you bombed a hospital on purpose. That seems impossible to me. Another possibility is that Israel bombed the hospital by mistake. I mean, mistakes do happen, fog of war. They're saying it was an Islamic Jihad mistake, so it's, I mean, you know, mistakes are possible. Also seems very unlikely to me because, you know, Israel's really good at what they do. And this kind of mistake doesn't, you know, it's too significant of a mistake for it to have been just a mistake. But you say, isn't that what they're saying about Islamic Jihad? It is. It is. And fair enough. Okay. But who's a more capable, competent military when it comes to targeting their weapons of war, Israel or Islamic Jihad? This is not a hard bet to make. Third possibility, again, involving Israel. Israel has a policy that says that if a terrorist or terrorist organization has turned a civilian facility into a cover for their own operations by running a Hamas headquarters out of a school, the school is a legitimate target. And although across the globe, my understanding is that the standard here is, yes, that's an acceptable target if the presence of the terrorists is great enough to justify the known collateral damage of civilians in the process of taking out a school and the terrorists. And this would appeal to a principle that it really comes from Catholic just war theory of it was in my head, and then all of a sudden, this is what happens when you're 52. It would have to do, it's not proportionality, but, double effect. Yeah, that's right. Good Lord. Sorry. Double effect is the idea that you do an action intending to do A, but you know it's going to do A and B is bad. As long as you didn't intend to do B, it's possible to justify doing the A-B action. It's possible. Depending on the proportionality of the A target, the justification of the A target, and also the size and scope of the B collateral damage. And so Israel has taken the position that, you know, one terrorist in the A is enough to justify any size B target. Most of the rest of the world does not accept that reasoning, but that's kind of been their way of looking at it. So they might have believed that there was a terrorist operation going on inside the hospital. And for whatever reason, they don't want to disclose that information. So they're not making that claim. Here's the thing. If that was what was going on, they would have said so. Because they haven't been reluctant to say so in the past when they have targeted things that, you know, involve civilian casualties. So none of those possibilities add up to me. Now, what about on the Gaza side? What about on the, you know, Islamic Jihad or Hamas side? Well, surely it doesn't take much stretch of imagination to realize that destroying a hospital, an atrocity, is exactly the kind of thing that fits with Hamas's modus operandi. That's exactly the kind of, and look, they killed, not to belabor the point, but let's not forget, they killed attendees at a music festival. They killed and beheaded children. They raped, they kidnapped women, children, the elderly, people in wheelchairs. I mean, you know, that's not an asterisk to their methods. That's their methods. So is it possible that Hamas and or Islamic Jihad would deliberately destroy a hospital for the purpose of creating PR against Israel? And ruining, for example, a trip between President Biden and the leaders of the Palestinian Authority in West Bank and of Jordan. Well, surely that's plausible. Was it a rocket attack from Islamic Jihad that went bad? Was it a rocket attack among others that actually went good, as in Islamic Jihad was trying to? Or was it a planted bomb or was it something else? Well, again, you know, we don't know. But there's all the plausibility and rationale on the either mistake or deliberate attack by the terrorists in Gaza. That makes way more sense than Israel. So which one is it? Well, I what I believe. Okay, I'm just kind of trying to walk you through the possibilities. So President Biden is now going just to Israel. He's going to meet with Benjamin Netanyahu, longtime friend of his. Of course, they have, you know, they've both been in politics for forever, right? Like 40 years together. And this is interesting. When he did the 60 Minutes interview, Joe Biden, I thought, did it. This is a really good interview because, you know, Scott Pelley is, he's not great. He's just not. You know, he's just, because somebody's been doing a thing long enough to not get fired at it doesn't mean that they're great at it. And Scott Pelley is in that category. Okay. So Scott Pelley is, you know, well, is it time to get for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas? And again, Israel has not yet actually invaded on the ground Gaza. Is it time for a ceasefire? And Joe Biden's answer here is very good.
Certainly about 1,200 Israeli civilians were killed in the initial attack, but now Hamas fighters and Palestinian civilians are being killed in the counterattack. Is it time for a ceasefire?
Look, there's a fundamental difference. Israel is going after a group of people who engage in barbarism that is as consequential as the Holocaust. And so I think Israel has to respond. They have to go after Hamas. Now, Hamas is a bunch of cowards. They're hiding behind the civilians. They put their headquarters where civilians are in buildings and the like. But to the extent that they can separate out and avoid, I'm confident the Israelis are going to do everything in their power to avoid the killing of innocent civilians.
Exactly right. That is exactly the right answer. Well done, sir. 40 years in the Senate or whatever, I mean, you know, didn't serve you bad. That's exactly the right answer. There is a dramatic distinction between means and goals for Israel and means and goals for Hamas or anybody else who's operating out of Gaza. And then the other question he asked is, well, you know, what about Israel going in and occupying Gaza? And this isn't directly related to the question of what distinguishes them, but he makes a mental blunder at the end and then tries to cover it, which, look, he's our president, you know? I didn't vote for him, but he's still our president. And he won, okay? And yet we have an upcoming election. And yet we're in an international crisis. Is it good to focus on the president's mental infirmities? If I ignore him, I'm not telling the truth. And if I focus on him, I'm telling something that's, you know, dubiously appropriate at this point in history. But it just is. So remember, Hamas, Gaza, Hezbollah is Lebanon to the north. Okay, Gaza to the southwest. Okay. So just keep that in mind as you listen to his answer on this question.
Would you support Israeli occupation of Gaza at this point?
I think it'd be a big mistake. Look, what happened in Gaza, in my view, is Hamas and the extreme elements of Hamas don't represent all the Palestinian people.
That's true.
And I think that it would be a mistake to for Israel to occupy Gaza again. We did, but to going in and taking out the extremists, Hezbollah is up north, but Hamas down south is a necessary requirement.
So he clearly wasn't aware of how he should end this series of comments. And so he stumbles around. And in the stumble around, he says Hezbollah when what he meant was Hamas. Now, to his credit, he caught it. Oh, crap, I just said Hezbollah, and what I meant was Hamas. And then he tries to cover it by saying, you know, well, of course, Hezbollah there in the north. Well, yeah. Why'd you mention him? You know, read that how you will. But it's not good. Right? 437-1620, and then one last one on the subject is he says, you know, does Hamas need to be eliminated? Are they a party to any peace negotiation? Can we coexist with the Hamas?
Do you believe that Hamas must be eliminated entirely?
Yes, I do. But there needs to be a Palestinian authority. There needs to be a path to a Palestinian state.
Okay, yes, exactly right. Islamic Jihad needs to be wiped out, right? Hamas needs to be wiped out. Hezbollah, we would love to wipe them out too. You know, is that going to happen? Well, that's the question. And then the issue is, what does peace look like? Gaza can't self-govern, they've shown. Nobody wants the people of Gaza in their territory. The Egyptians do not want them. The Jordanians do not want them. Nobody wants these people because they have shown that they are dangerous. In the past, when that's been done, it's not good. Even in the West Bank, it's illegal for them. You could say, well, why can't they just go to the West Bank and live there with the other Palestinians? The Israelis don't want that. They've made it illegal because the Gaza people are dangerous. Not all of them. I mean, it's half children, okay? But it's a big problem. So where do they go? Nobody knows. And then what's the solution? Well, nobody knows. What's the end game? That's exactly. For, you know, 40 years, what's the end game? 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up?
I'm tired of feeling so bloated.
That used to be me. Then I got this.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion. A probiotic, right?
Yeah, it works naturally with your gut to help soothe occasional bloating and gas. Plus, it has vitamin B12 to aid digestion by helping convert food to cellular energy. Two benefits, one capsule.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion from the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Learn more at AlignProbiotics.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There are two kinds of women, high maintenance and low maintenance.
And Ingrid Bergman is low maintenance?
An LM, definitely.
Which one am I?
You're the worst kind. You're high maintenance, but you think you're low maintenance.
Yeah, that is the worst kind. at least if you're high maintenance and you know it, there's something about that that's kind of honest and authentic. But, you know, oh, no, I don't want anything special, but I would like, you know, a pickle on the side. I'd like a non-sesame seed bun. Can you give me no ice in that Coke? And you know the buffalo wings? Can I get those breaded instead of fried and with the sauce on the side? And you know the ones that are, like, meaty? I don't want those. Bring me the other ones, the thin ones. But I'm not high maintenance. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The next vote for the Speaker of the House will be held later this morning after Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan did not get a majority vote yesterday. Jordan confirmed that news after leaving a meeting on Tuesday. He says he has no plans, though, of dropping out of the speaker battle. Pope Francis met with an American LGBT group that previously had been denounced by the Vatican this week. The Catholic News Agency says the Pope met Tuesday with leadership from the New Ways Ministry. It's unclear what exactly they spoke about.
And by the way, again, this follows on the dubia that were proposed for the Synod and Synodality from several bishops asking questions like, you know, can you ever bless a same-sex union? To which the Pope said, sort of, maybe, under rare circumstances, a little bit, kind of, almost, maybe, yes. But it was kind of his answer to that question.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, the crack in the wall, so to speak, has been kind of the right way to think about it. A little tiny, teeny tiny sliver of maybe from the Pope on this subject. Go ahead, David.
And sad news, the original Lois Lane has died. Phyllis Coates, she was the first actor to play Lois Lane.
In the TV series?
Right, the 1950s TV series Adventures of Superman, the very first one.
George Reeves as Superman.
Right, and her daughter says she passed away last week at the age of 96.
Oh, wow. You know what's weird? You said the 50s. In my head, that series is like the 30s. I don't know. I just think of it as being older than that. So the 50s. Okay, interesting. And of course, Christopher Reeves, you know, played in the modern movies.
Did they even have TV in the 30s?
When did TV start? Yeah, maybe
I think
you're
it
right.
was 50s.
Yeah,
go,
no, because FDR was radio. Oh my God, this make me sound stupid now. But okay, no, fair question. Now I'm gonna go look some stuff up now.
Was there a Superman series though that was back in the radio days?
I don't remember. The classic radio series I think of are like Lone Ranger, and,
right?
You know golly, I'm trying to think of all the different ones that we used to, you know, The Shadow, for example.
I think a lot of the 50s shows, though, did start on the radio and then kind of transition.
Often did, yeah. No, I think that's right. Okay, so Adventures of Superman, 1952 was the first year, so you had that right. I mean, that's just, okay, all right, you know, learning stuff all the time. Again, I'm not saying, my perception is, you know, 30s, maybe 40s. So when you say 50s, I'm thinking like, well, that's post-World War II. That's a very different era. Which is part of why Superman was popular then. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. And sad news, right? But wow. You know, because
she lived a full life.
Yeah, 96. Sure. All right. It's 529 here on News Radio 92.3. Actually, just about 530. This is amazing news. The Toy Hall of Fame, which we always argue over whether they got their job right, and they never do, has now taken five perennial don't-get-ins. And one of them is going to be in by a fan vote. So you got My Little Pony, the Transformers, the Pogo Stick. What were the other? There were four of them, or five of them all together. Anyway, the fan vote is going to put a couple of things in the Toy Hall of Fame this year. So you're bypassing the experts, and the people will have their say. Oh, the corn popper, which is the one that should go in. And Pez.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden in Tel Aviv, Israel, says a lot of people aren't sure who's responsible for a strike killing hundreds of people at a hospital in Gaza yesterday, but that it does not look like it's Israel.
I was deeply saddened and outraged by the explosion at the hospital in Gaza yesterday. And based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team.
The Israeli military says a rocket fired from Gaza hit the hospital. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says it was an Israeli airstrike. A second vote for House Speaker is expected today. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan was 17 votes short in the first ballot.
20 GOP members voted for someone besides Jordan. All 212 Democrats stood behind House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries for Speaker. They relished the loss by Jordan, endorsed by former President Trump.
Fox's Chad Pergam at the Capitol. The House reconvenes at 11 a.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 52 degrees. It is mostly clear skies this morning in Pensacola. The Interstate Fair opening tomorrow. Escambia County Sheriff's Office says they are ready to keep everybody safe when they go out to enjoy it.
We're not going to play games with these people that are wanting to cause trouble at the fair. And we will address these matters as they come up.
That is Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, and he tells Channel 3 at any given time he'll have at least 40 deputies patrolling the fairgrounds, some in uniform, some plain clothes, with warnings of possible threats due to the Israel-Hamas war. Sheriff Simmons says they are working with their intelligence partners, and as of now, there have been no reported threats locally. The Pensacola Little Theater joining the conversation over the banning of books with a new play. According to the News Journal, their actors will be performing Alabama Story. That's a play inspired by Emily Reed, who served as the state's librarian back in 1959, fought with a state senator over a book called The Rabbit's Wedding. That book had been banned for its depiction of a black rabbit marrying a white rabbit. The Pensacola Little Theater planning to run this play for 2 weeks. A Navarre man now facing multiple charges after apparently being found in somebody else's pants this week. 47-year-old Merrick Hamilton has been arrested. Santa Rosa County deputies say they were searching for him to serve a warrant for a prior trespassing charge. When they found him in Navarre, deputies searched his pockets and reportedly found meth and fentanyl. The man then reportedly told deputies that the pants were not his. Hamilton was arrested and taken to the Escambia County Jail. He was held on $10,000 bond. Starting next month, the city of Pensacola will be allowing residents to drop off some recycling materials.
Your typical number two plastics, like you think about your 2-liter bottle, the Coca-Cola or 20-ounce bottle, as well as your PET plastics, the heavier, which is your detergent bottles, milk jugs. Those are the two plastics we're taking.
And Mayor D.C. Reeves there, he says they'll also be accepting steel and aluminum cans and clean and broken down cardboard. Starting November 4th, residents can drop off those recycling materials on Saturdays between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the city's public works and sanitation facilities. The address for those facilities is 2759 North Palafox. 534 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful sunny day today with temperatures warming up near 74 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. For Thursday, 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise partly cloudy skies with a high near 75. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 52 in Pensacola, 55 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend. while others ride with their growing family. But no matter how many passengers you may have, there's a Volkswagen that'll fit you from Piedmore Imports. The all-new 2024 Jetta Sport, a sleek compact sedan now from $24,385. The 2023 Taos S, a sporty crossover with a new lower price of $25,199. The 23 Tiguan S has a third row and now from $29,146. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven for everyone's comfort, the 2024 Atlas SE, now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421, plus the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale prices before tag, tax, title, and dealer fees. Discount on the new ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as we always do on a Tuesday. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. We've had a couple of things happen this week. One case involved a road rage incident and a Melissa Johnson shooting over on Brancas Avenue. Is that right?
Yeah, we arrested a Melissa Danielle Johnson, 30 years old. Charged her with three counts of attempted homicide, discharging a firearm from a vehicle, discharging one into a vehicle. Also had a couple of controlled substance-type charges, marijuana and cocaine. It stemmed from a road rage incident, as you mentioned. Apparently, Melissa Johnson was in the car, got upset about another car, and fired a single round from her car into the car of another, injuring one person. You can't do that.
No, you can't. You can't shoot at other people on the road.
Yeah, you can't.
Is road rage as common as it's been? More common? Less common?
I think it's probably as common. I just think that the a lot of people have weapons now, and I think that it seems to me like we're getting more reports of people pulling weapons, not necessarily shooting weapons, but pulling weapons in anger. And again, we can talk all we want to about, people need to relax and calm down and, so they don't need to wave a gun in someone's face because that's what's going to result in.
Right.
If you wave a gun and I'm in a car, I'm thinking you're going to try to hurt me.
Right.
And a reasonable person would think that way too. So that's why we need to be very cautious of that. This situation, she fired a gun from a car into a car and injured an individual.
I mean, if you choose to brandish a firearm against another driver, they're now entitled to shoot you. If they feel like they're in imminent danger and they shoot you because you brandish, that's your fault. That's self-defense, right?
We talk about, is it reasonable to believe that your life is in danger if an individual pulls a gun, brandishes it, pulls it,
points it
at you? Then, yes, I would believe that a reasonable person would believe that their life was in danger.
Yeah, and anything can happen at that moment. Man, anything. It's just very, very scary stuff. We also had a case involving, and this is how long I have not been in the dating pool. I guess Facebook has a dating app, and somebody abused that and did bad stuff as a result of the date they created on the Facebook dating app.
Yeah, I was not aware of the Facebook dating, but apparently
you've been married longer than I have.
daters do.
Right.
Or some daters do. And this woman met a guy. His name was Caleb Fast. He's 29 years old on this Facebook dating app. Ends up being he was, the situation being, He was not friendly at all. And if all this stuff's true, he's a bit of a punk, quite honestly. He is charged with kidnapping, battery, aggravated assault, and sexual assault, according to the victim. He held her against her will, threatened her with a firearm. She attempted to leave. Finally, according to the report, he drank a bottle of wine, passed out, and she fled and notified authorities, and we made the arrest of Mr. Fast and charged him with all those charges.
Dangerous world. I mean, just it's a scary world. It really is. And, you know, I know people want to find romance, find companionship, get love, all that kind of stuff, but it's always these apps in general seem to me to be highly risky. I know that's a rare occasion, but it just seems like so many other things we talk about, that social media, you know, that's how kids get in trouble. That's how adults can get in trouble. It seems like a lot of bad things can happen from it. You had a drowning a little while back at the 9 Mile, the fish camp. But you guys are still working on this, trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah, on Friday we got a report from some boaters and from working with Baldwin County Sheriff's Office that there was a body floating in I think it's pretty a river over there by, I guess, Ruby's Fish Camp, Wilson Robertson Boat Launch, which is that area right there on 9 Mile Road just as you get into Alabama.
Okay.
And so our dive team responded out there, and we were able to retrieve the body. It is the body of a female. There is no foul play suspected at this time. But we are continuing to investigate it. We are working with the medical examiner's office to determine exact cause of death, because we want to make sure that we cover all the bases before
right.
we make a final determination. And then we will obviously let people know exactly what took place, and then obviously identify the victim and also notify next of kin.
Very good. Unfortunately, sad event. Wanted to ask you, interesting news note that we got the crime statistics for the country back. And despite what you might believe based on what you see and hear and read, violent crime declined in American cities in the first half of 2023, right? Car thefts are up, but violent crime is down. How do we measure against that national trend?
Yeah, we're in the process of, I know other agencies have mentioned this as well, but the state of Florida is in the process of changing the way we report crime.
Right.
So if you change the way you report crime, you don't have an apples to apples type of situation. So I went back and just took a look at let's give me the number of nonviolent crimes, the number of violent crimes. Mm-hmm. And our numbers were, the last time I checked, which was a couple of weeks ago, our numbers were down also. Not very much, but that they were down as well. Our homicide rates, typically what is what people ask about, and our homicide rates are always within one or two of each other from year to year to year. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what the crime rate the state of Florida is going to put out, which again, they may or may not put one out this year because, as I understand it, not every agency is able to use this new system and to report based on their new found criteria. And it's been quite frustrating, actually. We've had meetings about this. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement, they're trying very hard to get it situated. But to answer your question is, based on the numbers of on specific crimes that I looked at, it is a little lower this year than it was last year. The nonviolent crime or the vehicle thefts and that sort of thing is quite a bit lower.
Oh, is it lower?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. We're doing better than the country in that regard. This weekend, are you guys participating in this? Do you know anything about the details, locations, or anything like that?
Well, I know that we're partnering with West Florida Hospital on a drug take-back. I don't have the details on it with me right now, but
okay.
I know I signed some paperwork the last couple of weeks, actually, to participate in this because we obviously want people to take their old prescriptions and turn them in. In a safe place, so they're not just in our waterways. That's always been something that's been a concern of all of us. So yeah, we're participating, but I can't tell you that the locations because there are several locations throughout the area, and we are a participating location. I just don't know if that's taking place this weekend or not.
Okay, all right, fair enough. But just to be clear, this is a drug take back, not a drug buyback. The sheriff's department is not in the business of buying drugs from people.
Oh, actually, we are. If you want to sell drugs.
That's true. They just don't know your sheriffs, usually.
We don't, it may not go well for you.
By the way, how is the surveillance van program working?
Working well. We have a number of other locations that we have targeted. We're trying to figure out, because we people say, hey, bring it to my neighborhood, and I understand.
Have you gotten a lot of requests for it?
We have gotten a lot of requests for it. We're actually doing another one, so we'll have two. But I think the issue we're having is there's too many people asking for it, too many locations.
Good problem.
We'll probably have it at the fair also because while it's nice for neighborhoods, it really is a surveillance platform. It really does have cameras around and we want to make sure that we have the fare is the safest that it can be. But we're also looking at our top 10 nuisance locations, not necessarily businesses, but homes and neighborhoods, so we can go out there and bring the surveillance platform to an area that needs it.
What special preparations do you need to make for the fair?
Oh, a lot.
We have staffing plus all kinds of agencies, right? Not just ECSO.
Well, right, yeah. We do work with other agencies. It's primarily, though, the load is on the Skim County Sheriff's Office and the fair security themselves. We have dozens and dozens of law enforcement officers. I think people forget sometimes it's not just the fare, it's the parking. It's the situating them in and out. And we do get complaints about the parking because there's so many people trying to get into the
right
space. And we do our best at locations. The intersection, as the little triangle thing there, is not conducive to smooth, entrance and exits.
Right.
So we have to get out there quite a bit and work it. But we have been working on it quite a bit with the people at the fair. And so we have a plan for the safety and security at the fair.
Actually, two things. One is we got kickball coming up this weekend, right?
Yeah, I hope you're
ready. Fully stretched out?
I hope you're ready. I've been stretching this morning. I think I pulled something.
Yeah, I'm also making zero preparations for this. I'm trusting innate physical capabilities, which is usually a terrible plan.
Well, I mean, I'll eat, three meals a day or so. and I'll make sure
you
that,
sleep.
That
you
yeah,
sleep?
Yeah, I'll do as
every
much
day.
Sleeping as I can. And, daydream a little bit about this and that. But, no, it should be very fun. It's this Saturday, 8 o'clock. If you're looking for something to do and you're looking for people to laugh at, and you have some children, we have announced.
We'll be there.
We're those people.
That's right.
And so we should get out there. Gates open at 8. We start to first kick or pitch or whatever you want to call it is at 9 o'clock. And, again, it's a lot of community leaders, elected officials, appointed officials, influencers, radio personalities, martial arts experts like Andrew McKay. And if you don't have the view that I have of these legs of Andrew McKay, you need to come on out there and see those. You'd think in summertime there should probably be some tan, but there's not.
No.
I'm not sure how he works it out, but it's
There are even whiter parts of my body. You want to see a belly? Has never
Thank
seen
you,
the light of
no.
the day in a
Thank
long
you,
time.
No. All right, for those who are listening, that's not part of the game. We're going to actually provide Andrew with two shirts so that he can wear
just
so
to be sure to protect everybody.
Yeah. No, but it sounds like fun. We're going out there and play, and then we have this little surprise. If you bring your children, the last inning or two, we're gonna give them a shirt, first 50 or so. Then they can come out and they can kick the ball around with us and show us how it's really
they
done.
They can do it right, yeah.
Yeah, let's get some younger kids
I'm just
out there.
Terrified. I'm going to take a nice big swing and kick the turf and die. Is what I think is going to happen. I'm going to, break my foot off or something like that. So,
well, and it's kickball because of that. So that there's a slightly slighter chance of injuring each other.
I'll find a way. It'll be fine.
Oh, there's no doubt.
So this is going to be Saturday. Starts at 8.
Saturday. Gates open at 8. Game starts at 9 to about 11. So you still have time to come on out there, laugh a bit. And if you got children, bring them out there. And we're inviting them down to the field again in the last inning. So if they've never run around, kicked around, and on the real professional baseball
very
field,
nice field.
Then you can come on down there and just enjoy it. The weather should be perfect, and we should have just a great time laughing at each other in what I call a semi-competitive.
Exactly.
Nature.
Well, I will hold my other question for next time because that's perfect. That's a great way to end it. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thank you for keeping us safe, keeping us informed, sir. I always appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Yeah, semi-competitive, I think, is generous. It's very, very generous. People to watch on Saturday, Michelle Salzman is always very entertaining, and she has a lot of fun out there. Also, keep your eye on Jared Moore. Jared would what's the way I just want to say this? If the Houston Astros fielded a kickball team, he might fit in. Oh, he'll hear about this. No, I love Jared Moore as a good friend, but, people do what they do. 5:54, not bitter at all. 5:49 on News Radio 92.3 and 4. Man, I'm looking forward to this. Is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to super be sore on Monday. I know that for a fact. Hey, if you are thinking about that next vehicle, or maybe you're putting off thinking about it. Because maybe you're not like me, I don't know, but for me, I'm a putter-upper with her. I know that's not the right word, but I put up with things longer than I should, and that makes me put off decisions that I'd rather not deal with, like getting the next vehicle, because it's a pain, or at least it always had been in the past. And, you know, because I didn't like going to the dealership or the, you know, the used car place. I didn't like looking around, driving around, making a decision, worried I'm making the wrong decision. You know, do I keep putting $800 to $1,000 repairs on this vehicle, or do I get a next, you know, a newer one? Okay. Well, I always put that off, but you shouldn't, because the experience at Frontier is so easy. Go there, get a car that's 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, and a good price, and stop putting up with and delaying the decision to really upgrade to a car that you're going to enjoy, you're going to be able to depend on, is not going to keep costing you money every 6 months or so. I'm not saying that's ever happened to me every single time. But, you know, you can do better. Do better than Andrew, okay? The one time we did it really right, we went to Frontier, and we're like, oh, this is great. In fact, we wound up buying a car before we really wanted to, precisely because the deal was so good and it got us out of the Grand Caravan that we'd been kind of putting up with too long, you know, for like, you know, 15 years at that point. Frontier Motors specializing in great quality, almost new vehicles, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with auto owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. We work with independent agents who keep insurance simple, so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense.
Ask Rushing Insurance in Pensacola and Daphne if auto owners make sense for you.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Celtic Angels Christmas captivates audiences of all ages with the magic of Christmas.
Christmas.
Celtic Angels Christmas features five beautiful women with glorious harmonies combined with the stunning dance routines of the Celtic Night Dancers. Join us for award-winning song, dance, and music like nothing you've seen before as Celtic Angels Christmas carries you to Ireland on Wings of Music.
Celtic Angels Christmas coming to the Pensacola Sanger Theater Friday, November 24th. Tickets available online or at the Sanger box office.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
First, to start up with the recycling, we're going to start Saturdays, November 4th. It'll be the first day at 2759 North Palafox. That's where
there's going to be a drop-off now for recycling, 2759 North Palafox. I know you don't know the numbers on Palafox, but you know where the big metal sculpture is on the east side of the road, okay? South of there. Okay, if you go there, you've gone a couple blocks too far. On the west side of the street, that's the Alabama side of the street. I don't know. I've learned that not everybody knows the northeast, southwest, you know, so I have to kind of do, you know, for me, east, south, northwest, and then also visuals. It's the big blue warehousey-looking building on the west side of the street. Anyway, you can show up there on Saturday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and they're going to be collecting a variety of materials, but not everything. There's certain things they're going to be collecting.
We'll be taking what we're really considering four categories, which is the steel and aluminum cans is one. The two different kinds of plastics, we're not combining those because they are distinct. You know, you have your typical number two plastics, like you think about your 2-liter bottle, the Coca-Cola or 20-ounce bottle. As well as your PET plastics, the heavier, which is your detergent bottles, milk jugs. So those are the things, those are the two plastics we're taking. And then finally, we're taking clean and broken down cardboard. So not greasy pizza boxes, but your Amazon box, if you'll break that down and get that to us. We'll be able to take that for
you. I think the mayor got just some of his terms a little bit jumbled there. The PET plastics are the 2 liters. Okay, that's the clear shiny. It can be, green if it's Mountain Dew or something like that. And then the dense, thick, like the milk jug, or your laundry detergent, that's the HDPE. Those are the ones. And, again, clean cardboard boxes, broken down, no pizza boxes, and also steel and aluminum cans. Bring it pre-sorted, and this is what we're doing for now until... Basically, for now until. This is the temporary solution to bring in your recycling. I'll be talking with the mayor at 7:35 this morning. One of the things I have heard is that the Summit drop-off that is still there, which is really, it's not a, I guess it's a city facility. I don't know if we're still, but it's overflowing is what I've been told. So we'll talk to him about that coming up in about 2 hours. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams now is warning that it's only a matter of time before asylum seekers are sleeping on the streets. He says New York is now averaging 4,000 migrants a week and says finding shelter space is a constant battle in the city.
Wow, 4,000 a week.
Absolutely. That's, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. The U.S. providing Ukraine now with long-range missiles. U.S. officials confirmed on Tuesday that the Biden administration has been providing those missiles. The confirmation comes after Ukrainian forces attacked 2 air bases in Russian-held territory this week. The Ukrainian military posted on X or Twitter that the attack destroyed several Russian helicopters. And attorneys for former President Trump are filing an appeal after the decision of a federal judge to issue a gag order against him earlier this week. The partial gag order was issued on Monday, prohibiting the former president from publicly belittling witnesses, prosecutors, and court staff involved in the criminal case against him.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. I think we're going to go now to the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, and President Biden are speaking. At least on my TV, they are. Let's see, can we bring up Fox News over here? Jake is still figuring some of these things out. I apologize. Oh, David can do it. Okay, let's just pull David up on the newsroom. There we go.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, thank you, Mr. Prime Minister. In the wake of Hamas's appalling terrorist assault, it was brutal, inhumane, almost beyond belief what they did, this cabinet came together. And standing strong, standing united, and I want you to know you're not alone. You are not alone. As I emphasized earlier, we will continue to have Israel's back as you work to defend your people. We'll continue to work with you and partners across the region to prevent more tragedy to innocent civilians. 75 years ago, your founders declared that this nation would be one based, quote, based on freedom, justice, and peace. Based on freedom, justice, and peace. The United States stands with you in defense of that freedom, in pursuit of that justice, and in support of that peace, today, tomorrow, and always, we promise you.
So that's it. Okay. All right. Well, we had a press event, I guess. And they yelled questions and he did not answer them. So, but the meeting is obviously going. Again, the meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, not meeting with Jordan or the Palestinian Authority after the hospital bombing yesterday.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.